We're going to continue in the book of Job this week, as we said, and the story of Job is familiar to most of us, if not all of us. And last week we encountered Job at the beginning when life was good. I mean, everything was just going peachy for Job, and he couldn't have asked for a better life than what he had. And then, in one moment, the passing of one moment, his whole life changes. And his life becomes a struggle. It becomes suffering. And we found that Job was suddenly disoriented. You know, his path seemed clear, and then all of a sudden everything was different. He was faced with a physical ailment, and then as the story progresses in Job, and we won't cover every page of the story, but as the story progresses, things get worse for Job. He suffers financial loss. He suffers loss of loved ones. Things are going bad for Job, and he now moves from a feeling of being disoriented to this struggle and this suffering settling in upon him, the heavy hand, it says in our scripture, and now he's feeling deserted in his pain. My father, Ronnie Corder, was a Indiana state conservation officer. He was not a first responder as such, but he had a lot of opportunities that he was called to be a first responder when he was in the vicinity of when he wasn't ticketing hunters who were not following the law. He also had law enforcement duties, and he would come home and tell some great stories of people who he was able to help, and also danger that he had been in the way of. And he became my hero at a very young age. My first living hero was my father, and I just remember sitting at the supper table and just admiring those stories that he told and admiring him. One day when he was getting ready for work one morning, he was 36 years old at the time, he was putting on his socks, getting ready, and he noticed a lump on his ankle. And the lump started getting a little bigger, and he finally went to the doctor, and the doctors diagnosed it as leukemia. And actually, it was the leukemia was advanced. This was in 1976. And talk about getting disoriented. He was happily married, had three boys. His youngest was especially charming and wonderful. The other two weren't so hot, but life was great. And then, you know, one doctor visit changes everything. And within 2 years, my hero had died of leukemia. You talk about a feeling of desertion and of abandonment. Your relationship with God is never quite the same again after you lose someone you love. And at some point in our life, we all lose somebody who's special to us, who is maybe our hero, maybe the love of our life, maybe the one who raised us. And our relationship with God is never quite the same, because this story of Job is in the scriptures for a reason. It's there because Job experiences what we all experience at some level in our lives, and that is we encounter pain, we encounter suffering, we encounter loss, and at first we're disoriented. It throws us off balance, we're off kilter, and then as that pain and that suffering settle in and we realize it's going to linger for a while, we begin to feel a sense of desertion and a sense of abandonment by God. Where are you, God, in all of this? And God so often seems the most distant in our times of suffering. And we'd be surprised if you really started looking through the scriptures, or maybe if you spent a lot of time in the scriptures, you wouldn't be surprised how often people feel abandoned by God in the scriptures. We read from one of those psalms when we opened our service this morning. My God, why have you forsaken me? Of course, Jesus repeats those very words upon the cross. The Son of God feels abandoned by his own Father, the Divine Father. He feels separated from God in his moment of suffering. And in other places, in Psalm 13, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" And this feeling of being abandoned by God is something then to be expected. It's not something unusual. In our suffering and in our pain, we will feel abandoned by God. We will feel the darkness, as Job called it. Why is this? Why this feeling? Why does God seem most distant in our time of greatest need sometimes? Well, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 7, we get an idea about the purpose of suffering. Again, I don't want to confuse purpose with cause. Not that God causes our suffering, but God can make our suffering meaningful. There can be a purpose in the suffering that we endure. And this is what the scriptures say in 1 Peter. "These have come," these trials, "so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Now, so at some point, at the end of your present trial, at some point at the end of your present trial, Christ will reveal himself. In other words, you will experience the good tidings of Jesus Christ, the laughter and the play and the dance that life is meant to be, because we remain strong in the struggle. Because we remain strong in the struggle, on the other side, we will praise God even more. Life will be affirmed even more on the other side of the struggle. Because God is in our hope. If you're in the midst of struggle and suffering and God seems so distant and so far away, which is expected and usual, we see that in the scriptures and we've experienced that in our own life. But when God seems so distant from us, we find God, the scriptures tell us, in hope. So as we hope, God draws nearer. As we remain faithful, the grace of God is experienced more and more in our moment of suffering. So the key is not to give up hope. The key is not to as Job's wife said last week, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Why are you remaining a man of integrity?" And remember what Job's answer was. Job said, "Well, how can I expect to enjoy the good things in life, be thankful for the good things, if I don't accept the trouble as well?" That's a very wise, mature answer. That's life. And we know that. Life is the good days and the bad days. Life is those moments of ecstatic joy in our life, but it's also those moments of great loss and disappointment. And Job says, if I'm going to affirm this life, affirm this gift that's been given to me, the only way I can do that is to accept the good and the bad. But Job goes even farther, and we find this at the end of our passage this morning. He doesn't just accept it and affirm it. He maintains hope. Oh, and God is in the hope. That's where God is in the midst of our suffering, in our hope and in our faith. Because as the scriptures say, joy comes in the morning. Joy is not possible prior. That the kind of joy that we can experience fully in Christ is not possible before the struggle. After the struggle, oh, the joy is unspeakable, Paul says. It's greater than we could ever have imagined. You remember in Genesis, it actually picks up in Genesis 18 and goes through two or three chapters there. God promises Sarah and Abraham that they're going to have a child. Of course, by this time they're in their 90s and they bear a child. I think it was 10 years later, but they bore a child and they named him Isaac. And what does Isaac mean? It means laughter. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Do not abandon hope in the struggle, because on the other side of the struggle, there is joy, there is laughter, and others will laugh with you. Others will share in the joy with you. You will come out of the other side stronger, and maybe even laughing. So there's a question in our struggle that we can ask ourselves, and that is, in this suffering, as I suffer, is there something meaningful for myself or for my family, for my community, for my church, my people, my nation? Is there something meaningful that if I stay strong in the midst of this suffering and this pain, is there something meaningful, purposeful, joyful that will be experienced on the other side for myself or for my family or for my church, for my community? And the answer is always yes. We can take our suffering and we can find meaning in that suffering so that either ourselves or someone dear to us or our community or even our nation will be blessed because we stayed strong and faithful in our suffering. Job finally arrived to see his struggle, his suffering as meaningful, not because it wasn't before he experienced abandonment by God. He certainly experienced that. But on the other side, he came out with hope. And I want to look just briefly at the stages that Job goes through here in his personal trial, because I think they're important to us. A little setting here. First of all, he comes with this bitter complaint. He says, the hand of God feels heavy. It's a bitter complaint. Why is it a bitter complaint? Because last week, remember, we read Job said, Job is an upright man. He's lived a righteous life. He's tried to do everything right. And yet this suffering has fallen upon him. He's bitter, man. He's hurting. And it just doesn't seem fair. And it's okay to say it just doesn't seem fair. That's where Job begins. And he says, man, if I could just get to the head man, if I could just get to the top, I could explain my case. I could explain to God that I have lived righteously. I've lived uprightly. I've followed your path. I've done all the things you wanted me to do. And surely if anyone deserves justice, I deserve justice. Job calls out and cries out. But as he does that, he can't find God. God seems very distant. He can't find God to give his complaint to. God seems absent. And so what Job does at first here is he accuses life. He expects life to be something other than what life is. Now, this is at first. He grows out of this pretty quickly. But his first response is that life is supposed to be fair. That life is supposed to be just. That life is supposed to bring good things to good people. That's his bitter complaint. But he can't find God to give that complaint to. Because we don't have any right to accuse life. We really don't. This is a gift that's been given to us. It's an awesome gift of life. And if the nature of life is that we'll have good days and we'll have bad days, we'll have seasons of joy and seasons of grief, that's not our place to accuse life. We take the good and we take the bad, Job says. But slowly it's revealed to Job in his suffering that his is not to accuse life, but to affirm life, even in the midst of suffering. Job responds with a lot of wisdom from a place of affirmation when he says, "How can I accept the good life if I'm not prepared to accept the trouble that also comes?" So intellectually and even spiritually in his soul, Job understands that there's good and bad that comes with life. The scriptures even say that. Jesus said that. Jesus said the Lord makes God makes the sun shine on the good and the bad. He makes it rain on the good and bad alike. But man, the emotional pain in the midst of that, we still feel an injustice. So Job, first of all, accuses life, and then the second thing he does is he maintains his innocence. And that may sound like a bad thing from we Christians who have been driven into us that we're unworthy and we're sinful and we have a sinful nature and it's original to us. And yes, but Job understood that he's forgiven. Job understood that he was covered by God's righteousness. So he maintains his innocence. And we as people who are born again in Christ are covered by the blood of Jesus. And so we are made clean in Christ. And so we're not to walk through this world with a bad conscience, just buried in guilt. And religion can do that if we let us, but that's not what Christ came. Christ came to forgive us of our sins, to die for them, so that we might be made whole and clean and grow on to sanctification and holiness. It's maintaining our innocence in Christ. Because if we're walking around beating ourselves with a bad conscience all the time, and as the psalmist began this morning in our psalm, he says, I'm just a worm, I'm unworthy. But then he finally, as the more he prays, the more Christ enters into him and speaks to him, and he realizes that he's not going to perish because he's forgiven. He's been made new. He can affirm life. So Job affirms his innocence. It's not poor theology. It's good theology. But then Job says, "I go all directions and God is not there." He doesn't find a judge. Job can't find his judge. Because God is not the correct judge in this case. This is not God's case to hear. Life brings good and life brings bad. That's not on God, that's on life. Because life is a gift. It's beautiful, it's awesome, sometimes it's fearful. Job said he was terrified, but we have to engage life on life's terms. We're not to accuse life. And we're not to seek God to judge life. What we're to seek God for is strength and hope and grace and power. The lion. To ride the lion into our struggle and our suffering. That's where God shows up in our suffering. Job says, and he comes around to this, he says, "But in all this, I will not be silenced in the dark." Job says, "I am not going to go out on a whimper. I am not going to cave. I am not going to be defeated by life. I'm not going to be defeated by this struggle in life because I affirm life. Life is good. Life is filled with joy. It's filled with darkness, but there's joy in the morning. I will not be defeated." He says, "I will affirm life, I will remain faithful, and this suffering will make me stronger." All of that is tied up in that one phrase, "Yet I will not be silenced by the darkness." Do not be silenced in your suffering. One day, about halfway through my father's struggle with cancer, he came home one day He was the only breadwinner on our family, and I don't know what they make now, but they didn't make a whole lot of money back then, state conservation officers. So we didn't get a whole lot of extra things. You know, we ate fine and all that, but the life, we didn't live high on the hog. But he came home one day, and he had this bag that he brought out of the car, and he sat it in the middle of the living room. And my brothers gathered around, and he pulled it open, and there was all kinds of sports equipment in there. There was an ABA basketball, the red, white, and blue ones. You remember those? There was a catcher's mitt. I mean, this was like Christmas in July. I mean, we never got stuff like this all at once. You might trickle, you know. You might get one of those things a year or something. But this was like, where did all this come from? And then he took us out back, and there was one of those things he had set up, you know, where you pitch and it throws the ball back at you. And there were some other things in there. I can't remember all that was there. The message was to his boys, life goes on. Keep playing. Keep fighting. Keep working hard. Keep suffering defeats, but keep also enjoying the victories. In your suffering, Job teaches us, do not be silenced. Don't accuse life. Affirm life. It's a gift. But in that darkness of suffering, when God seems so distant, God is found in the hope. And the promise of the hope is that joy comes in the morning. Let's pray together. Father, grant us your peace in this moment. Grant us your assurance. Let your grace fall upon us. May we learn from Job to affirm this wonderful life you have given us, and to meet life with grace, with your grace, with faith, and with hope. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.